Beginning with verse 17, that is page 926 in your pew Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, grab your Bibles, let's stand together. First Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 17 and reading through verse 25, and let's read God's word together. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of his power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Thank you so much. The cross is central in our lives, in our words, and in our conduct. It's the beginning point, the jumping off point for our relationship with Christ. Without the cross, there is no salvation, no healing, no reconciliation, no peace, no restoration, no hope, no forgiveness, no mercy, and no future. The church cannot survive without the cross, no more than a body can survive without a beating heart. It must be central in our house of worship, and it must be central in our lives. William Sangster was a British Methodist pastor who spent the last 16 years of his pastorate in London. He wrote the following about the meaning of the cross and about Jesus' death on the cross, and I quote, if he was man, it was murder. If he was God, it was an offering. If he was man, it was martyrdom. If he was God, it was sacrifice. If he was man, they took his life from him. If he was God, he laid it down himself. If he was man, we are called to admiration. If he was God, we are called to adoration. If he was man, we must stand up and take our hats off. If he was God, we must fall down and give him our hearts. Paul said the preaching of the cross is essential. It's necessary. It is a have to. The cross must be preached because the cross cannot be understood with human reasoning. We read in verses 18, 22, and 23 of our text this morning, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Jews demand signs, and Gentiles look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. Paul said the preaching of the cross to the Jews was a stumbling block because they believed in a cause and effect God, that good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people. So if bad things are happening in your life, it's because there must be some unconfessed sin in your life. If good things are happening in your life, it's because God is pleased with you. This is one of the quandaries of the book of Job, is Job's friends are trying to explain to Job that the reason he is in such intense suffering is there must be some unconfessed sin in his life. And the point that they're making is this, Job, if you'll confess your sin, God will then again be good to you? It's the same quandary that the disciples found themselves in John chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" They believed in a cause and effect God. If you lived a good life, good things were going to happen to you because God was good. If you lived a bad life, bad things were going to happen to you because God is bad. The Apostle Paul shared about this in the book of Philippians in chapter 3, where he reveals a little bit about his past, and he talks about how he was a Jew of the Jews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, that when it came to keeping the law, he was blameless. And yet Paul said all of that was nothing. It was junk. It was trash. Paul said the Jews believed in a cause and effect God. The Greeks believed in a God that had to be understood by human wisdom. You had to be able to explain God. You had to be able to explain his works, his acts, what he did. It had to be able to be explained. In Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 18, it says, a group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with Paul. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus, the cross, and his resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are preaching some strange idea to our ears, and we would like to know what it means." And then Luke adds this little caveat. All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. The Greeks wanted a God you could understand. Tell us about this God. Explain him to us. We don't understand this God sending a son and him dying and then being resurrected. Explain this God to us so we can understand. But Paul said there is only one style of preaching when it comes to the cross. In verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 1, we read it today. "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might be emptied of his power." Eugene Peterson in The Message paraphrased that verse this way. "God didn't send me out to collect a following for myself, but to preach the message of what he has done, collecting a following for him. And he didn't send me to do it with a lot of fancy rhetoric of my own, lest the powerful action at the center, Christ on the cross, be trivialized into mere words." Now, Paul was not against wisdom. He was not against education. He was not against having a proper vocabulary. In fact, the book of Acts tells us that Paul was educated at the feet of Gamaliel, who was recognized by Jewish historians as being one of the greatest teachers of the law. Paul was highly educated. Paul was a man of words. He was a man of wisdom. Paul understood vocabulary and how to speak to people. But what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians is this. Paul was trying to say this to us. Everyone who knows Christ can preach the gospel. That the gospel is not for simply the educated. The gospel is not simply for those who have a very profuse vocabulary. The gospel is not just for those who have their MD degree. The gospel is not just for those who are called the right father, reverend, so-and-so. No, the gospel is one message only. Christ died for sinners. And Paul is saying that everyone can preach that message. No one can use it as an excuse, I am not educated. No one will be able to use the excuse, I'm not a theologian. No one can use the excuse, I'm not a public speaker. Luke chapter 8, verse 38, Jesus has cast demons out of a man who had no education, who was not highly thought of in his community, who was not valued. Words did not just roll off his lips. But after these demons are cast out of him, beginning in Luke 8, verse 38, the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with Jesus. But Jesus sent him away, saying, and listen to what Jesus says to him, return home and tell how much God has done for you. Preach the gospel in your own words. Tell someone what God has done for you. And here's the result. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. In John chapter 4, Jesus comes and sits down at a well. A Samaritan woman comes to him, comes to the well to draw water. She was not highly educated. She didn't have a good reputation. She was not considered to be a lady. She'd been married 5 times before, and the man she was living with, they were not living in a marital relationship. She had a reputation, but it wasn't a good reputation. She was not invited to join the Garden Club or the Azalea Club or the Camellia Club. She was looked down on by everyone in the town. But after seeing Jesus and talking to him, we read these words in John 4, beginning of verse 28. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who ask you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Always be ready to give an answer to those who ask you about the hope that you have. The message of the cross is, that's a great question. Let me get the pastor. The message of the cross is not, that's good. Come to our church next Sunday. The message of the cross is, oh, that's good, come join us. No, the message of the cross is this. Let me tell you what God has done for me. There's not a single person, and this is why Paul said, to the Jews it's a stumbling block, to Greeks is foolishness, that an uneducated Jew, someone who has not gone through the proper training and the proper teaching, someone who is not set at the feet of the scribes and the Pharisees and learned all the Jewish history and learned how it all ties together, that someone like that, a common fisherman, a tax collector, could preach the gospel to the Jews. That was a stumbling block. To the Greeks, who highly valued philosophy and being able to discuss all the various philosophical arguments and to be able to explain why bad things happen to good people, to be able to answer every argument and every philosophy, to them that was highly valued. But Paul said, to Christ it means nothing. The message of the gospel is clear. Christ died on the cross for my sins. He died on the cross for your sins. Let me tell you what Christ has done for me. We don't complicate the gospel. We run from the gospel because we understand how easy it is to explain. We run from the opportunity. We're all familiar with the story of John Newton, the former slave trader who became a minister of the gospel. Due to his background, he applied to the Anglican Church to become a minister, and because of his background, they made him wait 7 years. But once he began to preach, the church where he pastored could not accommodate the crowds who came to hear him. We know him best not from his sermons, but from a group of hymns that he wrote along with William Cowyer's, and they published in a hymnal, a book. And the most famous of that hymn is the song that we sing, Amazing Grace. Newton used the first verse of that song to tell the story of the gospel. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. That, for Newton, was the crux of the gospel. Newton was not highly educated. He did not graduate magna cum laude. He was a former slave trader. He was a man with a horrible past. And yet he preached one message. Christ died on the cross for me. Christ died on the cross for you. Let me tell you what he has done for me. There was no eloquence, no deep wisdom, no apologetics, no new theology, just the truth of what happened to one person when they encountered the cross. Have we encountered the cross of Christ? Can we say to someone, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. If you and I have encountered the cross, we have a story to tell. We can share the gospel. Paul said, I did not come with eloquent words. I didn't come with great wisdom. I did not come to impress you with my theology. I came preaching one message, Christ crucified, Christ risen. That's the message of the cross. And it is a message that every one of us can preach and should preach. Father, I thank you today that it is all about the cross. It's about what Jesus did, not just what he did hanging on the cross, but the effectual working power of that event in our lives today. What happened in my life when I encountered the cross? Lord, I thank you that it is level ground at the foot of the cross. It's not there for the highly educated or the wise or those who are fluent in their vocabulary. But Lord, it's for every man. It's for saint and sinner. Is for theologian and slave trader, is for everyone, can come to the cross and can leave the cross and say, let me tell you what Jesus means to me, what he's done in my life. I pray, Father, that we would be people of the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.